The following is an AUFans.com production.
It's a new day, Auburn fans!
Steps up, in trouble, he's on the run, hit as he throws, incomplete! Tigers win! Tigers win!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. I mean, expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
War Eagle, everyone, and welcome to the AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. I trust everybody out there had a great Thanksgiving with their family and or friends. And now we, putting the turkey and dressing aside, we can look towards Saturday's mega big game at Jordan-Hare Stadium between the Auburn Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And how big is this game? Well, ESPN's game day. We'll be at Auburn broadcasting live starting at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. The start their game day show, which goes like from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And, of course, they'll be right outside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Of course, as you know, if you've ever watched any of ESPN's game day, it'll be a mass mob scene. Probably be some folks I know trying to get close to that to the stage there where Lee Corso, Herb Street, Chris Fowler, and maybe Desmond Howard, usually the gang. And then they'll bring on a celebrity, you know, guest to pick games for that week when they pick all the games. And rumor has it maybe Charles Barkley of Auburn basketball fame will be the guest, picker. So it ought to be an unbelievable Saturday in Auburn. I would look for record crowds, you know, to be in the city, not only inside the stadium itself. Now, before we get started, let's have a show of hands. How many folks out there really thought at this time of the year of this football season that Auburn would be in the position by winning Saturday to go to Atlanta to play in the Southeastern Conference title game and to still have national championship hopes of playing in the BCS, final BCS championship game in Pasadena? That's what I thought. You can, for those of you who, you can go ahead and lower your hands. I don't think anybody, including your super host, the Unusual Man, thought that we would be 10-1 going into the Alabama, into the Iron Bowl. Auburn, again, comes into this game 10-1, ranked fourth in the nation. Alabama, not unexpectedly, is ranked number one and undefeated. The game, of course, kicks off at 2:30 from Jordan-Hare Stadium. And by the way, folks, as a side note, If you run into some of your Auburn brethren, be sure to remind them that it is Jordan-Hare Stadium and not Jordan-Hare. It is spelled like the word Jordan, but as many of you and most of you should know, Coach Jordan pronounced it as if it was spelled J-U-R-D-A-N, Jordan. So from Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday, the eyes of the nation will be on Pat Dye Field as our beloved Tigers take on the Crimson and White of Alabama. Now, some of the what are some of the advantages that Auburn has and that Alabama has going into this game? Well, start off with Auburn. We're perfect 7-0 this year at home. We have taken care of business in our house, as they say, and we're going to try to run that to 8-0 Saturday. We've had improved quarterback play. Nick Marshall has gotten markedly better as the season has gone on. And I think you saw that all the way up and through the Georgia game, of course, making that unbelievable touchdown pass at the end to Ricardo Lewis. The defense, even though statistically our numbers are not where Coach Johnson wants them and where he'll eventually get them, I believe, if he stays at Auburn. The red zone defense has been very good for Auburn. So Auburn's still about third or so in the conference in scoring defense, which wouldn't necessarily match up with the amount of yardage they've given up. So they've been dialing up some red zone strategies that have been working. The defensive line play has improved greatly. I don't think there's any question that Coach Gardner has brought a new attitude to that defensive front. Certainly the pass rush. We've got more sacks, more pressure overall this year. We still got a ways to go. And, in fact, in keys to victory, I'll mention what the defensive line needs to do better than they've done up to this point. The kicking game has been solid. I mean, it's no coincidence that we have two senior kickers, and they have both had all-conference, if not all-American type years. Cody Parkey consistently puts the ball in the end zone, so you know, no threat of a big kickoff return like Auburn has actually had a few times this year. So Parkey has been a definite weapon. Stephen Clark continues to punt the ball high. He still would like to have probably a little more yardage, but very few of his kicks are being returned, and that's going to be big Saturday. What about the Tide? Where's the Tide advantages they have? Of course, it probably starts with their senior quarterback, A.J. McCarron. I mean, he's 36-2 as a starter. I believe he's undefeated on the road. Some pretty gaudy numbers. Now, I'm not part of that Heisman watch or Heisman push for McCarron, because I think he's certainly benefited by some tremendous players around him. I mean, there's no secret that Coach Saban has recruited, had the number one or two recruiting classes of the last four, five, 6 years in a row. And so A.J. McCarron is not doing this in a vacuum, if you will. But he has been steady, and he is a senior, and that does count for a lot. Now, they have the top rushing defense in the conference. I think, of course, that's going to be going against Auburn's top rushing offense is strength on strength. But I do think Alabama's probably good up front. I don't think I know they haven't faced a rushing team like Auburn, but going into this game, that's certainly a plus for them. You know, they have probably maybe for a tandem tailbacks, you know, Yeldon and Drake are as good probably as there is in the league. Now, Trey Mason, I think, is as good as any back this year in the conference. But Yeldon and Drake together give them a 1-2 punch at running back that's pretty good. And, of course, on a great Alabama defense, which I believe leads the nation in scoring defense, they're led by their senior C.J. Mosley. If you really want to talk about a Heisman candidate, I think Mosley probably stands out more than McCarron. Mosley is the glue for that defense, and he's made plenty of big plays. He's a senior, probably going to be a first-round draft choice. So to look at what Alabama has going for it, that's where it starts for them. All right, what are some of the disadvantages that both schools have maybe to overcome? Auburn, you know, we've struggled in the passing game. We've had some huge plays. Again, none bigger maybe in Auburn history than the throw from Marshall to Lewis to win the Georgia game. But also Sammy Coates has had almost every game a pass play where he was behind the defense. We've missed some of those. We've made some of them. But again, the intermediate passing game has to be there, in my opinion, Saturday to beat the Tide. I think Alabama will slow Auburn's rushing game down. Now, I think Auburn's still going to be able to run the ball unless Alabama puts everybody in the box. But I think it's going to be – and I think we may have a chance over the top for a couple of big long throws, but it's going to have to be Nick Marshall hitting CJ. He's going to have to be hitting, you know, the Davis kid. You know, Sammy Coates maybe on some shorter routes. We've got to get the short passing game, you know, 10, 15-yard passing game going. We've had some trouble stopping the run, certainly in LSU, the only loss. They exposed us between the tackles. I think we've gotten better as Montrevious Adams, a true freshman, has come on and played more. Moving Nosa Igwe inside. You know, Nosa is a defensive end by trade, but – Coach Garner moved him inside, and his quickness, even though he gives up 30 to 40 pounds to most offensive linemen, he's strong, you know, and he's quick, and he's made some big plays at that defensive tackle. So we're going to have to not allow Alabama, you know, to run between the tackles Saturday. And something that would be great, and again, I think a key to Auburn winning, our linebacking play needs to be the best it's been all year Saturday. Jake Holland, Chris Frost, Casanova McKenzie, to name those three main guys, have got to have, you know, their best game this year. And, you know, whether that involves, you know, covering backs out of the backfield or a tight end more closely, or, you know, filling the gaps, making, you know, not missing tackles, whatever all of it involves, the linebacking play is going to be key Saturday for Auburn to stop Alabama's offense. Now, what would you say Bama's disadvantages are? I mean, certainly an undefeated team that's only had a couple of games that were very close. Now, I think some of that has been because of a schedule that has been very favorable for Alabama. Starting with their Eastern Division opponents, they played Tennessee at home and Kentucky, two of the weaker teams in the East this year. They did play Kentucky on the road, but it wouldn't have mattered where they played Kentucky. Auburn, on the other hand, played Tennessee at Tennessee, but playing Georgia, I think, is a big help for Auburn, a big difference between these two schools. Also, in the one game against Texas A&M, they gave up 42 points. Even though they took a big lead, they couldn't stop Manziel coming back, much in the same way Georgia did against us, and they were an onside kick at the end from making that game get even more interesting. So I think Alabama, I mean, they went to Starkville a couple of weeks ago, won 20-7, very unimpressive win for Alabama. They look very flat on offense, and of course they've had a history of that coming off the LSU game. But I think the fact that they have not played a complete team, in my opinion, like Auburn, will hurt them somewhat Saturday. Another couple of potential, you know, weaknesses or disadvantages for Bama is, of course, obviously playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium, playing on the road. If Auburn can keep the game close early and keep the crowd in the game, I mean, Alabama probably wants to come out, well, for obvious reasons, but they'd like to come out especially and jump on Auburn and get up 7-14 to nothing to kind of try to take the home field advantage away from Auburn. But playing on the road is a definite disadvantage for them. They've had some issues on a couple of the games, turnovers in the red zone. Drake is an outstanding running back, but he has had a little issue holding on to the football, and even T.J. Yeldon, I believe it was, it fumbled near the Mississippi State goal line. Alabama can't turn the ball over Saturday, I believe, to win. And even though most people like Alabama's offense, I personally think there are some holes in that line. Now, Quanjo, Cyrus Quanjo, the younger brother, plays left tackle for Bama, probably a first-round draft choice in the NFL. But as you go to his brother, Ari, as you look at Ryan Kelly, the center, Shepard, one of their offensive tackles, I don't see the dominant offensive line like Alabama's had. And watching some of their film, even the Ole Miss game, Ole Miss had several plays where they overpowered the Alabama offensive line and was in the backfield, you know, to make plays and played pretty well on defense. All right, what are some of the key matchups? Well, again, C.J. Mosley for Alabama, our offensive line, and maybe Jay Prosh, our H-back. I have a feeling that Prosh and Mosley are going to meet. They're going to be pretty familiar with each other by the end of the game Saturday. Whoever gets the better of that, or the offensive linemen that are assigned to slow down C.J. Mosley, I mean, that's a key. Mosley has a huge game. Goes unblocked, then Alabama is going to be tough defensively. again, as I said earlier, the AU passing game. Auburn's going to have to throw the ball, and I think it's going to have to be the shorter passing game. We're going to have to keep Alabama off balance. D Ford needs to have a big day. I mean, we need to pressure A.J. McCarron. If you allow McCarron to stand back there, Alabama's got as good of receivers as I've seen. The Cooper kid, Norwood, those are two big ones. I think they're going to get their catches. They're going to get their plays. And Alabama's going to get their points. What Auburn has to remember is, you know, this doesn't have to – if it has to be a shutout for Auburn, then we probably don't win. I think Auburn's got to play, though, you know, play the aggressive game that they'll need to play defensively to get after McCarron and them. And if they give up some big plays, so be it. If they give up some scores, you know, so be it. I think we've got to be playing for a game to win in the low 30s, a 10 to nothing, 14. That's going to favor Alabama. Keys to victory for Auburn. We got to start fast. I mean, I'm not saying we got to score, you know, first three times we get the football. We need to move the football, or we need to certainly stop them. We need to keep that Jordan Hare crowd in the game as long as possible. I mean, preferably for four quarters, but certainly at the start of the game, that crowd is going to be like probably none other that we've had in a while. And it's, if we can give them some positive plays to stay loud, they'll be loud on defense. It'll be hard for McCarron and them to check into other plays. I mean, the Auburn crowd has really got a chance, to make a difference in this game. But we've got, you know, the football team's got to give them a reason to kind of stay in there. I think we've got to hurry up, no huddle. We got to keep the pedal to the metal. I think Alabama has not played, and if Bama has shown weakness before, hurry up, no huddle has given them a little bit of trouble. Saban likes to substitute in certain situations, put his packages in. If Auburn doesn't substitute, then it's going to be, you know, Bama's going to have, you know, get lined up. They've not had to do a lot of that. I mean, again, even in some of the, I mean, Texas A&M, they gave up 42. LSU plays a more pro-style offense. So Bama, I mean, and they had some success. Even in that LSU game, that first touchdown that was basically given to Alabama was a huge play in that game. And, I mean, in these kind of games, it doesn't take but one or two really big plays like that to change the outcome. So Auburn's got to play fast, and they've got to move the chains. Auburn can't turn the ball over Saturday. Certainly you can't give up a pick six or a fumble return for, you know, something really big that results in points. There's no turnover that's ever good. Preferably, though, maybe it's – if you do, it's when you've driven the ball, had the ball, and it's on Alabama's side of the field. We can't give Alabama a short field Saturday. So no turnovers. If we turn the ball over a lot, we're not going to win a football game. We've got to get touchdowns in the red zone, you know, against Georgia. That game, you know, everybody focuses the national media. Jesse Palmer, in particular, goes about and talks about Auburn should be a two-loss, you know, team because of what happened at the end of that game. Well, as Reese Davis pointed out to him, it was 37-17 in the fourth quarter. Auburn should never lose a 20-point lead at home to anybody. And if they'd scored a couple of extra touchdowns when they were down there and they kind of shot themselves in the foot, that game would have been 44, maybe 50-something, and we're not really talking about the miracle of Jordan Hare. We got to stay out of third and long on offense. Of course, that kind of goes with all that other stuff I'm talking about offensively. But Auburn's got to get positive yardage on first and second down. We can't have third and seven, third and eight, third and ten kind of downs facing us, or we're not going to have success Saturday. We need short, third and one, third and four, third and less than five, certainly, to be able to maintain momentum and keep the ball moving. Defensively, we've got to get off the field. When we get third downs on Alabama, I mean, they're going to convert some third downs, but we can't give them, you know, 70% success on third down, 60%. We need to have a day where our defense is like it's 30% success. We got to get off the field so that we can get Nick Marshall and our offense back on the field and try to tire that Alabama defense, which, again, has not been stressed but about one and a half games this year. We need to limit the big plays. I honestly think that the real key or a couple of keys that you're not going to hear that much about except for, I think, from here, and that's going to be a freshman tight end for Alabama, O.J. Howard. This kid has got a lot. He was a big five-star recruit. He's a tight end but plays more like a receiver. Alabama's hurt Auburn in the past with the tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama go back to trying. I mean, Cooper and Norwood, they're two big go-to receivers. They're going to get their catches. Now, we need to limit them, you know, to smaller gains. We don't need to give up 30 and 40 yard pass plays to Cooper and Norwood. But they're going to get their plays. They may get a big play. O.J. Howard and even Yeldon or Drake out of the backfield. Watch for Alabama to try to throw the ball to Yeldon coming out of the backfield, isolating him on like Jake Holland or Casanova McKenzie, one of the linebackers, and watch for them, Bama, to go to Yeldon often or, again, O.J. Howard. Hopefully, and I believe Coach Johnson's going to be aware of this and be ready for that. But that to me, there's going to be some key plays or made or not made to those two guys from Bama. Well, that's about it for analyzing the Alabama game. Now, a prediction. Got to make a prediction. And, boy, I have struggled with this, guys. You know, I've gone from all the way thinking that Bama might win by a couple of touchdowns. The problem is, you know, stepping out of this rivalry, taking your emotion out of it, and that's tough to do. Also, though, it's tough to deny Auburn almost a team of destiny. I mean, the drive against Mississippi State was incredible to win that game. That last drive against Texas A&M and the defensive stand against Texas A&M to beat them at their place was big. And then, of course, what we did against Georgia coming back, I mean, you really start believing that this is a team of destiny. We've certainly made enough plays. The players believe in it. The coaches do. I don't think there's any question. If you look at our coaching staff and what they've been able to do, it is amazing. Coach Malzahn may win Coach of the Year, but it really should be shared by all of those staff members. They've all contributed mightily. Now, again, you look at Alabama, what Nick's done. As I heard, read where A.J. McCarron said, no big deal, Iron Bowl, I've been in two national championship games. Well, I may be wrong, but I'm going to tell you this, A.J., if you're listening. You're not playing Notre Dame Saturday. You're coming into our house against a much more talented team than that Notre Dame team, with all due respect. The Irish might have been undefeated, but they probably wasn't as good as Ole Miss was last year. So A.J. may be saying that to try to, you know, calm his teammates, what have you. But, you know, and I may be wrong. I mean, Alabama, you know, we're going to have to overcome a 50-point turnaround from last year. Alabama beat us 49-0 last year, and it really wasn't that close, folks. But, you know, the difference between these two teams from last year's team this year is just – it's almost undescribable. So – I'm going to continue down the path of destiny. I think Auburn moves the football on the ground. I think Coach Malzahn has got some plays and some strategies that he has not shown us this year. I mean, I would be shocked if Auburn, unless Auburn can move the ball on the ground against Alabama like we've done, and I really don't expect that. I mean, for Auburn to get 300-plus rushing yards against Alabama seems extremely unlikely. So I think Coach Malzahn has been practicing in these 2 weeks off to unveil some stuff that Alabama's not going to be expecting. I think Auburn scores 31 points, and in a tight, you know, just an incredible finish. Maybe Dee Ford sacking McCarron, or maybe Robinson Therese coming up with a big interception at the end holds Alabama to 27. So it's the Tigers heading to Atlanta to face, I believe, the Missouri Tigers with a 31-27 win Saturday at Jordan-Hare. Again, like I said last week, if Alabama wins and wins going away, we'll go back and edit all of this tape out. So there you have it, folks. Now, quickly going around the SEC as we do each week. Last week, in an unprecedented history of Florida, the 1AA Georgia Southern team went into Gainesville and knocked off the already struggling Florida Gators. Coach Muschamp on the hot seat. I actually think Coach Muschamp is a good coach. He's certainly a great defensive coach. I'm not sure what all has gone on with the recruiting. There's probably under no circumstances should Florida ever lose to Georgia Southern. Georgia killed Kentucky 59-17. The bad news there for Georgia fans, and really for SEC fans everywhere, Aaron Murray tore up his knee and will be out for the season. That's unfortunate. I think with Murray at that offense and with some of their weapons back, Georgia had gotten back to being close to what they were at the start of the season. Missouri impressed me and went into Oxford, Mississippi and beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss and holding them to 10 points. I mean, the Rebels did get shut out by Alabama earlier, but they had their chances. They had certainly had their chances to score at least 10 against Bama. So to score only 10, I think this Missouri team is really underrated, and they've got their quarterback back. They're tough. Tennessee Vandy, I don't know what to say about the Vols. I mean, they had one, again, there was a spot at the end of the game that it looked like when they corrected it, they did get the correct spot, but for Vandy to go down and score at the end, they've won 2 years in a row. I guess that was the first time Vandy's beat Tennessee 2 years in a row and forever. It's a tough year for Butch Jones, and I think you can tell by looking at Tennessee, they got to get some of these recruits, this good recruiting class that it appears they're building. They've got to get those guys into Knoxville before they can start turning it around. Arkansas lost their eighth game in a row. Welcome to the SEC, Coach Bielema. You're not as Dorothy once said. We're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. You're not in the Big Ten anymore, Coach Bielema. You're gonna. And I know Coach Bielema was, some of it was for the fans and all, but one thing I think you have to learn when you come into this league in the SEC, you got to put your big boy britches on, and you probably want to do more of your talking on the field and than in the press. And Arkansas has got a long ways to go to turn that around. And then maybe the most impressive game of the week, LSU throttled Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M 34-10. 10 points for Texas A&M. If John Chavis, and here's the thing, and I didn't think LSU's defense was that good earlier, and they really weren't, but John Chavis, former Tennessee defensive coordinator, been at LSU now several years, is one of the best in the business, and they had one of their best games ever against Johnny Manziel. And I tell you what, I've never been that crazy about Les Miles, but he's got a great staff around him. And, again, hats off to Coach Chavis. Now, we've got in the SEC, we've got, we've got all but five teams are now bowl eligible. The four teams that are already out, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Mississippi State plays tonight, as I'm going to tape on this. I'm taping this Thanksgiving Day. They play tonight in the Egg Bowl in Starkville, needing a win to get bowl eligible. And I think, obviously, if they do win and go 6-6, they will get a bowl bid. I think Mississippi State's going to come up short. Ole Miss has played pretty well against them lately. I like the Rebels talent-wise, and I like Ole Miss to win the Egg Bowl, and then that would keep Mississippi State out of the, out of bowl, contention. Now this week, the rivalry is—it's called Rivalry Week. Florida State, who is on a fast path to get to that, be one of the two spots in Pasadena. So I believe Florida State will handle the Gators big time. I don't know if Will Muschamp will survive or not. I think it's pretty much a given that he's going to have one more year to kind of get things turned around in Gainesville. Now, Georgia Tech, as I mentioned earlier, Aaron Murray was hurt last week. Tech's going to be tough at home. I still think Georgia's got more talent overall, but without Murray in there running that offense, that's going to be a close game to call. I'm not sure. I think Georgia Tech, without Murray, Georgia Tech, I believe, is going to get the dogs in Atlanta. UT Kentucky, Tennessee's got to beat Kentucky to feel good at all going into the offseason. A loss would give them a 4-8 record. Not the way Butch Jones wanted to start it out. Again, Tennessee's got some serious rebuilding to do. Of course, the other huge game that's going to determine who goes to the SEC championship game from the East, Missouri hosting Johnny Manziel. I still think Manziel's got a chance to win the Heisman, depending on what happens with Jameis Winston. I mean, Jameis Winston, I think, much like Cam Newton, has had the unbelievable season. But even though it's a different circumstance, like Cam, you know, had those false allegations hanging over him, I'm afraid that Jameis Winston may be in a little more trouble. I'm not sure, but Johnny Manziel, if he puts up big numbers and they upset Missouri, could still get back in there. I just don't – I mean, A.J. McCarron may get some sympathy vote and a team award Heisman. I think that would be unfortunate. A.J.'s a great quarterback, but he's not the best player in the country. Again, another huge in-state rivalry game. Clemson travels to South Carolina. South Carolina would love to win this game and have some momentum – some big momentum going into the SEC championship game against Alabama or Auburn if Missouri stumps their toes at home to Texas A&M. LSU plays Arkansas. I believe that's a Friday game, even though some of the listings I saw was for Saturday. I think Arkansas goes to LSU on Friday. LSU should handle the Pigs, giving Arkansas a record 9 straight losses. All right, it's that time of the show where we talk to a Auburn graduate from around the planet. This week, coming from Tokyo.
No, it's Kyoto.
Kyoto, Japan.
That is correct, Kyoto.
Former Auburn graduate and current math professor, Masami Goto. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Stan Steven. I am humbled by opportunity to speak to you over telephone, and I listen each week when I get email that your podcast is online. Your show is very good, and I like energy that the show has. Also, I like the announcer voice that comes on first to say, "The following program is Auburn Football Card Podcast, AUFans.com production," or whatever it is. He sounds like a very nice man, and I hope you pay him plenty. You probably need to pay him more, maybe double what you pay now. No, really, such talent.
I'm sure he would appreciate you saying that, but yeah. And by the way, Professor, did I pronounce your first and last name correctly? I apologize. I struggle a little bit with the with some of the names from the folks around the planet. But did I get close on that?
Oh, it was beautiful. Let's see the way you say it. You were right of money. No, right on the money. You got it just right. Misami Goto. And I'm from a city called Kyoto. Sort of like rhyme with names.
So you're a math professor there at Kyoto University.
That's right.
Tell me how you enjoy that. And since you are a math professor, could you give me a formula for Auburn's victory Saturday over Alabama?
Well, Stan Steven, you put me on the spot a little bit there asking for a formula, but it happens that I do have something for you. First, let me say that mathematics and many things related are my passion. I could not have found a better match, and I have been teaching at Kyoto for many, many years. The university setting is what I love to be in. I love to see the light bulb turn on in eye of each student when they come to recognize how to use knowledge gained in the classroom. I have many, many brilliant students. Some are, as in anything, some are lazy and could use a couple years' hard labor and rice paddy in middle of no place with mud between their toes and just an ox to drive. But many are simply brilliant students, and it is thrill to expand horizon for them. Now, about that formula, let's see. Most definitely we can put together a formula to come up with winning team of this game based on performance throughout the season.
Right.
And you, Stan Stevens, I think know American football better than me to know many times outcome of a game has nothing to do with numbers and facts.
Right.
Sometimes winner is determined by heart and soul, mm-hmm. and sometimes energy of momentum.
Right.
With that in mind, let us go to area of mathematical statistics, and in particular, probability. Well, probability of 1 plus 1 adding to 2 is 0. Can't happen here. There must be clear winner and loser.
Here
is the probability formula I suggest in this situation. You listen closely?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. The Auburn football team will probably score more points, kick Alabama team in rear end, and win game.
Oh, that is something.
You like that formula? Of course you do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Professor Goto, what football question or what question do you have for AU fans this week?
Well, okay. Even though I'm considered a numbers person, I've not been keeping up with Auburn's wins and losses this year or for last few years, but I'm understanding that there has been a big difference in comparison from last year to this year. I know we win much this year, but I don't know the numbers and how they compare to previous season. I expect since Auburn is a university, these numbers would likely affect recruiting for the next year too, I guess, for both the academics and for a future football team.
Well, that is a interesting question, and of course involving some numbers. It's probably in keeping with your math background. Yes, Auburn last year went 3-9. They're currently 10-1, which is, of course, a 7-game improvement. With one more win, Auburn would tie the SEC record for biggest, one-year, turnaround. In other words, to go from obviously 3-9, if they win, let's say Saturday, and go 11-1, that 8-game difference would tie the SEC record. With two more wins this year, Auburn would set the all-time record for turnaround. Now, of course, Professor, typically you wouldn't want to have that record because that would mean you had a really, really bad year in there. But if you're going to have that bad year, I don't think anybody expected this type of turnaround.
Okay.
And also, speaking of numbers, they'd have to have a 50-point turnaround in terms of the overall a difference from the score last year, Alabama winning 49-0, For Auburn to win even by a point, it would have to be at least, what, 50-point turnaround there and beyond more of the differences. But anyway.
Okay.
And then, of course, lastly, you had said something about recruiting. I know you probably have to recruit assistant professors and graduate assistants and so forth there at the university where you are.
All right.
This is going to be a huge recruiting weekend in Auburn. There'll be, I've read anywhere from, you know, maybe over 100 recruits or better at this game.
Wow.
Most of these are unofficial visits, but yet they still, you know, that basically means they have to pay their own way. But there's going to be a lot of talent, high school talent, sitting in the stands Saturday, you know, watching that game, watching both of these programs. So it would be really good if Auburn could play well and even win that game. But anyway, thanks for that question. Well, Professor, again, thanks for calling in.
Well, no need to thank me. I thank you, Mr. Stephen, for what you are doing to providing the podcast for all Auburn family to listen to and to keep up with the team. And one more thing I must say. War Eagle, Stan.
A War Eagle to you.
Thank you.
And let's hope that math formula for scoring more points, at least, than Alabama is at least holding true Saturday.
Yes.
Well, that does it this week, folks. Join me next week. We'll look back at the Iron Bowl and see if Auburn is going to be playing a week from Saturday in the SEC title game against either Missouri or South Carolina, or if we are licking our wounds from a tied win and then looking and maybe deciding what, you know, which bowl game is shaping up for Auburn. Auburn should still, regardless of Saturday, at a 10-2 record, they put themselves in shape, you know, good shape to have a good bowl trip this year. So, again, I hope everyone enjoyed Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us. War Eagle, everybody. Let's go get the Tide.
This has been an AU Fans Podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.